Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. 9:12 is the time. Time to begin this morning's panel discussion on topics in the news. Joining us this morning, our own Alan Shartok, University at Albany professor and investigative journalist Rosemary Armato, and Judy Patrick, editor of the Schenectady Gazette. Good morning, all.
Hey.
Good morning.
Not very enthusiastic.
Good morning.
See, now that's why don't we rehearse this? If you want to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you, a paragraph or two at most. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or our Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. So there you have that. We'd love to hear from you. Now let's hear from the panel as we start the show on a Wednesday morning. Grim news. From the West Coast, National Weather Service has extended a flood warning in the area of the Washington State mudslide. It's in effect until 6 o'clock tonight. The Weather Service says it expects some flooding of homes and roads to continue until a newly forming river channel is large enough to drain the lake behind the slide blockage. Flash flood watch is in effect through Monday afternoon, although the Weather Service says the likelihood of a flash flood below the blockage is very low. And the crews continue to search the site of the mudslide for survivors or bodies. The official death toll at 16, while another 8 bodies have been located but not yet recovered.
Wow.
It's
and the missing is something over 100, too, so that account could go much higher.
Sure, that could. Yeah. It will. I mean, yeah.
And we discussed this morning, and I said, you know, there's not a lot we can say, but there is.
Yes, I found something. In 1999, it seems, there was a study of that area by the Army Corps of Engineers. They were looking at doing some rehabilitation work in the area. So they were studying that exact slope. And what it ended up saying, again, 1999, was that a catastrophic event was going to happen. That was a slope that was in danger, that when flood water came, as it has this year, it would just slide away, as indeed it did. So the author of the report said he was not surprised. He knew it was going to come, just not when.
So who's at fault for not doing anything?
Yeah, that's what people are looking at. The Army Corps of Engineers said they never really did much with that study. You know, they didn't do the work that they had been looking at, but they didn't report it to anybody. That was not their job, they said. Local authorities said they were well aware that this was a dangerous slope, as were the people who actually lived there. And so what they did was try to always warn when there was danger. They did tests and let people know about it. But this one, you know, came with not even a warning. It just slid off the face of the earth. So I think, you know, this is one of those categories, like building your house right next to the ocean. It's beautiful and wondrous, as was the scene from where these homes were, but you face such a terrible risk.
Or living next to, living in one of those canyons where they have perpetual fires in California, and people insist on rebuilding in them.
Right.
You know, it's also something for us all to consider is people do studies all the time, and there's so many of them that sit on shelves, and government spends a lot of money on study after study after study, and maybe people should, you know, be more aware about these things, and if there's something that really needs to be done, call for some action.
And the media has a role in this, too. I know in Eastern Europe, where I work, reporters are not used to looking for government studies. They wait until they're handed a press release.
Yeah.
And so we have them always searching for what has the UN said, what has the IMF said, what studies are out there, what has the university said. We need to be doing that, too.
I think we should all sort of understand that what Rosemary's talking about here is that she goes abroad and tries to train journalists
how to
do it with an organization. What's the name of the organization?
It's called the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project.
Yeah.
It's pretty
okay.
Good. And we frequently learn things from over there that should apply here. The Army Corps of Engineers has also said that it may be time to begin putting out more and better information. We have ways to do that now on geological problems like this slope.
Yeah, but you know, I want to go back to something that Judy said, and which I think is profound, and that is that very often politicians try to get out from under difficult subjects by having yet another study sit on the shelf. For example, Governor Cuomo's, here I go again, Governor Cuomo's Moreland Act Commission, which they want to go forward. Apparently the people on the Moreland Act want to go forward and get more done. And, you know, but there is a push to get them to put yet another study collecting dust on the shelf about corruption. So sometimes you either got to do it or not. And they've got to have the guts, by the way, to say, no, Governor, even though you appointed us, we want to move forward on this, and we want to get more done. So this business of putting yet another study on the shelf doesn't really avoid responsibility.
No. Okay.
All right. But getting back to your point, Rosemary, it's really not the media's – I mean, it would be nice had the media reported something on this. But ultimately, if there was a finger of fault to be pointed, it's not at the media in this case.
No. And I don't mean to blame the media, but I do remember the days when reporters had beats. You had enough reporters to sign them to a specific area. Yeah. And if you had someone assigned to housing, hillside housing, or there are mudslides are not uncommon on the West Coast, so disaster reporting. We don't have that now.
Well, in these days of shrinking budgets,
yeah,
that's a
pipe dream.
Yeah,
we go from one crisis or news event to the next.
Or the shame of our mental institutions.
Correct.
That's always good for a Pulitzer for somebody, eventually. That these places quite frequently are not fit for human habitation or others, and we're not doing it right. Somebody writes a report, and then sooner or later, Geraldo Rivera or somebody goes into one of these places and makes hay by saying and doing the expose. But in this case, it wasn't done.
That's Alan Shartok. Judy Patrick from the Daily Gazette is here. Rosemary Armeo is here. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's the Roundtable. We love to hear from you. Roundtable@wamc.org is the email.
And as you said, keep it short.
The brief is good.
Yeah.
Because that way you don't have to edit on the fly as we read them. So roundtable@wamc.org. Mr. Hopper, let's take a break and then we'll shift gears and move on to the next topic.
Support for WAMC comes from Unusual Wedding Rings and More in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield. Working with New York Diamond District artisans to create customized jewelry, unusualweddingrings.com. University of New Hampshire, offering an online Master of Social Work program, now accepting applications for admission in August, mswonline.unh.edu. And Lewis Sign Company, a family business celebrating 90 years in the community, supplying signs, LED message centers, digital printing, vehicle wraps, sign and lighting service. Tell the world with signs, lewissigns.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC on this Wednesday morning, 20 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe, and Alan is here. Judy Patrick is here. Rosemary is here. Presumably you are there on the other end of the radio. This one from the New York Times. It's all over the news. Obama answers critics dismissing Russia as a regional power. Quoting here Michael Shear and Peter Baker, amid the chest thumping between President Obama and President Putin of Russia in recent weeks, one question has lingered. How big a threat is Russia anyway? And this from CNN, the president's remarks, he was responding to criticism from Mitt Romney, who said basically that Russia is the top geopolitical foe of the U.S. But the president said, well, no, they're a regional power,
and then he
which
said,
was a shot, I think, as Alan likes to say.
Right. And then he said, "And then he said, what I'm really worried about is an atomic bomb in the middle of New York, meaning that there's a terrorist threat." Which, of course, became the headline on the local newspapers in New York, because I've often thought of that. We know that, and what he's saying is terrorism is the number one issue, and it's not a nation state that we have to worry about. It's somebody walking in with a smart bomb or a small bomb or whatever they call them in a suitcase. I've thought about it 1,000 times. I mean, the reason they've come to New York all those times is because it's basically the center of the world.
But it does, I think his remarks, to some extent, take away from the threat. In other words, he called Putin leading a regional power whose real threat extends largely to its bordering nations. But isn't that the issue, the bordering nations?
Well, it's also inaccurate because Putin's threat also extends to Syria and Iran, which is hardly on his borders, and it's right in the heart of the land we're worried about. So it's a bizarre thing, and I think the comment was prompted by the extreme criticism Obama's been getting from his former Republican opponents. It isn't just Mitt Romney who was reminding about the debate. Sarah Palin was out there saying, see, I told you I could see this from my back door. I knew this was going to happen. They didn't know it was going to happen. It's, I think, a kind of a fluke that we have a foreign policy crisis that's centered on Russia right now.
Hindsight is 2020, of course, but is the president making the right play here? And was that shot necessary or even warranted?
Well, I think he was being honest with people. I think he was saying, yes, Moldova and Estonia and whatever are at some risk here, but it's regional and it's not critical in the same way that it would be critical if somebody blew up New York and made that point. Said, listen, every day I get a briefing. He didn't say this, but I know what he's talking about. Every day, I get a briefing at 6 o'clock in the morning about the latest threats and who's trying to get in the country and what we're trying to do. And we know that they, as I said before, we know that they came to not once but twice to knock down the World Trade Center. They didn't get away with it the first time. They did get away with it the second time. And what in the world makes anybody think that they're not going to try to do it again? They are. And so I think he was laying out his priorities for the people and saying this is what we really have to worry about.
I'm just not sure why he doesn't think Putin is a player in that. Who is arming these countries that provide the terrorists that come to New York City? I thought it was a bizarre thing. As I say, it's political. He was striking back at Republican opponents or trying to make them look weak and naive. John McCain, another opponent, came out and said he's the most naive president we've ever had.
And you got to believe that there's polling behind this, Obama's guys did some polling and Americans don't believe that Russia is a big threat. I mean, we all grew up during the Cold War era and we remember being scared to death of Russia dropping a nuclear bomb on us. But, there's millions of kids out there today that don't remember that. And so I think if you poll Americans, they're worried about terrorist threats. They're not so much worried about Russia anymore. We think about them differently than we did.
That's true. In a poll released Thursday, only about a quarter of those surveyed said they view Russia as an adversary of the United States. 4 in 10 said Russia was a serious problem. So that's exactly right.
All right. We'll find out in coming weeks and months and years. Justices seem open to religious claims by companies. And this is from the New York Times. Rosemary really wants to talk about this one. In a long and lively argument that touched on medical science and moral philosophy, the Supreme Court on Tuesday seemed ready to accept that at least some for-profit corporations may advance claims based on religious freedom. And Rosemary,
I am intrigued by the story, and I think that all of us ought to be. This is marks a sea change in First Amendment rights in this country. It began in 2010 when the court decided the Citizens United case by saying companies have rights just like people. They are persons in the eyes of the law, and they have a First Amendment right, so they can put money into political parties and to political causes. So that has led now to this case, the Hobby Lobby case, in which a company is trying to argue that it has religious freedom also under the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. Hobby Lobby is a very conservative company. It does not believe in abortion. And so the Obamacare has run smack into its beliefs. Actually, because of a scientific mistake. It believes that some of the contraceptive devices that are protected under Obamacare, that you can get paid for them in insurance programs, are actually abortion. One is the morning after pill, the other is the IUD, and they do not want to provide, they don't want to pay for their employees to have it.
Well, wait a second now, Rosemary.
This is a good point because we've run into this before.
If there are those people who think religiously, that the only reason people should engage in sexual activity is for procreation, right?
Correct.
Therefore, they can make the argument that even the morning after pill is contrary to their religious beliefs.
Correct. Well, and so the Supreme Court hears this case yesterday, and Hobby Lobby, the people who run that company are completely sincere. They honestly believe that they want to do work in God's way. They believe their success is due to their belief in God. It's as Sotomayor said on Justice Sotomayor said, you have a great client here because they're not suspect. But what are the implications of what they're asking for? What if a company is run by Muslims and they think the women employees should wear a burqa? Should that be protected under the U.S. Constitution? Mm-hmm. What if, what about those religions that believe that blood transfusions are not right? Should they be exempted from hospitalizations? What about those religions that believe that children should not be spared? Child labor law, should they be overturned because they interfere with the religious rights of some companies? It's a huge, huge case.
It
because
is.
Of all these implications.
Now, I listened carefully to the reports yesterday and started to add up the votes. And it seems like another 5-4.
It does. It does. The NPR, actually, Nina Totenberger, was looking at the gender breakdown. And the women justices seem much more interested in protecting women's right to get contraceptions.
But those women happen, happen to be Democrats.
Liberals. Yeah, that's
or liberals,
true.
More liberal justices. Well, I mean, you could look at it the other way and say, since when is it right for the government to then go tell a private entity what it has to pay for? And so that's flipping the question in reverse.
Well, we tell them they have to pay their taxes, don't we? In other words, we tell people, the corporations, that they have to pay their taxes. Many of them don't, but we tell them that they do. Nobody raises, says, I'm not paying my taxes because of my religious preferences.
And we tell them they have to provide health care for their employees. And in fact, Hobby Lobby itself believes that that's part of its mission, is to protect and help its employees. The debate, though, is
they
over
say,
what is that?
I want to correct you, if I may, Rosemary. I never want to use the word correct, but they they say that's their belief. They believe.
Yeah, all the evidence is that this is a real deal on this case, on this organization. So that's why I thought the arguments yesterday were so fascinating, because you can argue it on both sides, and indeed the justices did. It was really an amazing debate of the sort that always makes me wish that court were open to
yes,
video.
And it's disgraceful that it's not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we love to hear from you. Roundtable@wamc.org is the email address. Roundtable@wamc.org. We'll take a break for news, and then in the next half hour, we'll talk stories from Judy's paper, The Daily Gazette, also about a big regional hospital that will close, the New York State Legislature moving toward, I don't know, getting rid of the Electoral College. We'll talk about that all coming up in the next half hour of the Roundtable.
That's a lot.
And welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:36 is the time. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Alan Chartok is here. Rosemary Armeo and Judy Patrick. We love hearing from you. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. And Alan, we have a letter or two.
Or four.
Or wow.
They're coming in fast and short, which is good.
That's nice. Short but pithy.
B says, if health coverage should only include procreational medication, then it follows that, and these are all in capital letters, men over 62 cannot have any financial help obtaining Viagra-type meds.
Okay.
I just thought I'd read all that to you in the way I think it was intended.
Yelling?
That's why the big thing.
Right.
And Jack says, I have never understood these cases where the employees claim their religious freedoms are in jeopardy or disregarded. What about the religious rights of the employees? Why do employees have to be subjected to their employer's religion? I wonder what would happen if some employees attempted to bring suit that their rights were being disregarded and went to the Supreme Court. Comments, anyone? Yeah, 5-4 against. Okay, so.
Well, you don't have to work there, right?
Well, if wait a second. Now, you work here.
Right.
If you argue with me, which you do all the time.
Yes, I do, sir.
Yeah, you're not going to say, I don't turn around to you and say, well, you don't have to work here. I never said that to you. I never would.
But if I had a philosophical issue that was so huge, I would not have to apply. In other words, before that even started.
Well, you do have a philosophical.
This isn't philosophy. This is health we're talking about, and that's why the
but
case
religious
is
or philosophical.
It's entangling all of these issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
Okay. And then Paul says, it seems that the ruling in favor of Hobby Lobby will place courts in the position of ruling in future cases what is a genuine religion or religious belief. Ultimately, it would appear to lead to a backdoor establishment of religion in violation of the Constitution.
Interesting.
Anyone agree? I do.
That's an interesting proposition.
So, and then Jack says, is. I just happened to hear a comment that requires classification. Alan said something like, I always like that, something like.
Yeah, paraphrasing
quote,
here.
Quote, these people believe that only allowable reason to have sex is for procreation. I didn't say these people. I said some people believe that. What do you mean, these people? To my knowledge, it's not the belief of any major group or objector to the contraception mandate. In other words, Catholic Church's position is that unitive, whatever that is, and procreational aspects of sexual relations cannot be separated without denying the essential truth of the act. The Church has been clear on this. Does not mean that all sexual acts must be the purpose of procreation.
You have to have a good sense of rhythm.
Right. There is that. But there are some who believe the only time is when you're making babies.
Making a baby.
Okay. Making a baby.
All right,
okay.
Fine.
Okay. I don't know. That's what it. Else? Is there anything else? Probably, but I probably have messed
There's
it up.
There's nothing like birth control to bring the letters in.
Indeed. Indeed.
Okay. John says, to correct the panel, there's no employer mandate in the ACA. The law does not impose a legal requirement on health insurance plans, but there is no mandate that employers offer health plans, no matter how large the employer. Employers may decline to offer health plans, and employees will not suffer. They will be able to purchase.
That was actually an element of the argument yesterday, but Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby. She'll be our guest tomorrow on the panel, oddly enough.
It sounds like a rock and roll song from the 60s.
They contend that they have a religious obligation to protect their employees, so that the option of not having any insurance and paying a small penalty is not open to them. That's not an option they are arguing.
Well, there's more, but we should go on.
Right, exactly. And once again, the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. And thank you for your letters. We enjoy them very much. All right, this one from the AP. New York lawmakers have approved a bill that would enter the state in an interstate agreement to award its electoral votes to the presidential candidate who receives the majority of the popular vote. The National Popular Vote Agreement is triggered when 270 electoral votes are reached, enough to give the states who signed the compact a majority of the electoral votes. So far, 9 states and the District of Columbia have signed the measure, accounting for 136 electoral votes. The bill, sponsored by Republican Senator Joseph Grifo and Democratic Assemblyman Jeffrey Dinowitz.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Dinowitz. Add New York's 29 electoral votes to that. If signed, New York would be the second largest state behind California, which has 55 electoral votes, to join the effort. I'll put this one to our political scientist first, Alan.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's a great idea. I think Americans want a democracy. There'll be somebody who writes me a letter and says, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. But the fact of the matter is that we want the winner to be the winner. And right now, it's been happening, and it's happening, and it's happened several times throughout history, that more than two, several, is that the loser wins. So this way, everybody says whoever gets the most votes nationally gets to be the president. I agree with it, and I think most people, most Americans do. The polls are showing that.
As a practical matter, though, can this really even happen? What is this? I mean, we have to amend the Constitution. Correct?
No, you don't.
No.
That's the whole duty of this thing, Judy.
It's a workaround.
Yeah. Everybody in the states, the state legislature passed a bill, as the governor signs it, saying, we will cast our ballots, because nobody can tell the state who to cast their ballots
for. In the Electoral College
for the person who gets the most popular votes.
This is long overdue. We have had to undo the early Constitution on voting for vice president, for example, on U.S. senators, and the most important electoral position. We've still left with the archaic Electoral College. It's nice to see this as a bipartisan effort also.
But as Judy points out quite correctly, some of those that you just mentioned have been amendment fixes to the Constitution, as opposed to this, as Ray just said, working around the Constitution.
That's absolutely true. However, in earlier centuries, we did not have the Congress that we do now, where a constitutional amendment is not going to be possible.
Well, that's true.
This is a national popular vote agreement, which theoretically then at any point, any of these states, if they don't like what's going on, could break the agreement. This is not binding, right?
No, it's binding.
Not
if they pass a law.
It's binding because
it's a law.
Can you
get taken to court?
Yeah, sure.
That's
because
just the name of the bill.
The governor in New York, the governor has to sign it now. The legislature has passed it, and by the way, overwhelmingly, because nobody wants to. There are a few people who have voted against it, but Democrats and Republicans, they all know that this one could take a bite right out of your posterior if you come down wrong on it.
Okay.
So what's the likelihood of this getting adapted nationwide?
I think it's good. nationwide. Think it's very good.
Yeah. The two biggest states of New York, if New York goes, the two biggest states would already be involved.
Well, the whole region here, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York.
So the governor signs this?
What'd you say?
Governor Cuomo signs this?
You know, he's astounded me in other cases, but I don't see why not.
Okay. Judy, what is new in your fine newspaper, the Schenectady Gazette?
Hey, this morning we have a interesting story that deals with immigrants and illegal aliens and farm labor. A story out of Montgomery County where a farmhand who worked there about a year ago was arrested by federal authorities out of Arizona. He's been convicted now, and he was sentenced last week on human smuggling charges. So what he was doing was people would send him money. He would deposit in the local bank up there, and he would funnel it back to his people in Arizona and to bring people into this country. He was a native of Guatemala, worked as a farmhand, but he was also very involved in this operation to bring illegal aliens into this country. One of the people from the Farm Bureau we talked to said that this guy himself was an illegal alien, but he was able to get a bank account, and it raises the issue of how hard it is for farm owners to get the help they need and to make sure that they have the right documentation so they don't run afoul of immigration laws.
12 million people who fall into this category, there are going to be a lot of slipping and sliding between the cracks. And also, your point is very well taken, that the farmers, one of the reasons that this is not an exclusively Democratic proposition, which it has seemed to be, is that farmers and many Republicans need these workers. Not all farmers are Republicans, of course, but many are.
Yeah, and they're desperate for help. They're desperate for the labor that comes from across the borders. And you don't hear the argument locally that they're taking jobs away from local people, because in many cases, I may get slapped for this, but in many cases, the local people don't want to do these jobs.
So this fellow is on federal money laundering and trafficking charges?
Yes, convicted and sentenced, 44 months in federal prison.
All right.
Convicted,
else is new?
Yeah. It ran all the way from Arizona to Montgomery County, New York.
Wow. Interesting story. What else you have?
A story about it.
What else you got? Bring it.
And I a story about an Albany woman convicted and sentenced yesterday for scamming the IRS. What she was doing was an interesting case. She would file a tax return and send them a check for amount of money that she said she was owed, and they would send her back a check that she overpaid her taxes. The problem was the initial check was bogus. And so she was getting a refund of good money from the IRS and cashing it and running away. She did it, I think, scores of times and got away with it until they finally tracked her down, and she is going to jail. One of the arguments her defense attorney made yesterday was that she wasn't really hurting anyone. That she was, but she was hurting the government, the IRS.
And, but as it is,
I'm cheering for the woman. I'm sorry. The IRS is just not, doesn't get my vote.
You see so many of these stories, and they tend to come out, at least in my opinion, right around the time we all have to pay our taxes.
But
what I can't figure out is, I'm scared to death. I really am. I mean, I want to do the right thing. Sure, there are lots of things the government does that I don't approve of, but I pay my taxes. And Roselle and I sit there and we go over every single little thing to make sure that not one dime has come in that we haven't reported and all the rest of it. So, and then I read these stories and you wonder how many people get away with this.
It's very brazen.
That is an interesting idea. Do you think possibly the IRS does wait
absolutely.
To come out
absolutely.
For March and April?
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right now that I think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As a warning?
Sure. Get online, folks.
I've been audited three times.
Have you really?
And I have never cheated on my taxes. Just like you, I would be afraid to do it.
Interesting. A reporter who gets audited.
Do you declare a lot of deductions and
no,
expenses?
No, but see, I work overseas. And get money from government grants and things. So and then on top of that, I did make a mistake in the year I got divorced when records were lost.
Oh.
So that's the immediate flag.
Yep.
And they wanted $16,000 for me because they said I was taking money from the
government. I got audited once.
Which I wasn't.
Did you really?
Yeah, and my brother-in-law represented me as CPA.
Do?
We got more money back.
Yeah.
Oh, impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive.
It was good.
I ended up going to tax court. Because they didn't, they said they didn't get my receipt, my explanation, even though in their own files there it was with time stamped correctly. So it's a mistake. But as soon as you go into tax court, you can't use an account. You have to hire a lawyer. It cost me a fortune.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. It was, anyway, I did. deducted all the costs of the lawyer the next year. That was a
So that's another red flag?
No,
so.
It
no,
might
no.
be. I don't know. But I want the IRS agents out there listening, NSA, I never cheat on my taxes.
The NSA doesn't listen. It's okay.
They're not going to listen anymore.
That's anymore.
That's a good point. That's
no, do you
segue,
think that, do you segue. Think the IRS goes after highly visible people is my issue?
That's your worry, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Well, we know under Nixon that was absolutely true.
Yeah, and Nixon specified certain groups that he didn't like. We know who he didn't like. Yeah. We know he didn't like psychiatrists. We know that there. Well, I don't want to go further.
And then,
but we know
what
he said.
Nixonian under Obama, we had the IRS scandal of earlier this year when it was thought that his IRS was going after
conservative
groups.
Absolutely. Let's take a break here, Mr. Hopper. Another big local story: a local hospital, regional hospital, is closing, and we want to touch on that briefly. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from the Adirondack Council, over 30 years of advocacy on behalf of New York's Wilderness Park, working to protect rare wildlife and its habitat, adirondackcouncil.org. Third Eye Associates Limited, life planning, transition planning, and wealth management, registered investment advisors with offices in New York City, Washington, D.C., and Red Hook, New York, thirdeyeassociates.com. And Palace Theater, Albany, New York, presenting America's Test Kitchen Live with Christopher Kimball, Sunday, April 13th at 3 p.m., with live tests, experiments, tastings, and more, palacealbany.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable, boys and girls. 10 minutes before 10 o'clock. Ray Graff here for Joe Donahue. Alan is here. Judy Patrick is here. And Rosemary Armeo. And we have, of course, some email at roundtable@wamc.org.
We do. Michael wants to know, Electoral College, what's different? Doesn't the state's electoral vote now go to the winner of the popular vote? I missed something, I think. No. Sometimes when you add up all of the people who are the states that are voting, you don't get the desired result. That's because there is an elector, get this now, for every the two senators and the representative in each state. Now, you take next door Vermont, they only have one representative and the two senators, so they get, you know, these electoral votes. Anyway, the answer is no, Michael. Call me and I'll explain it all to you if I can.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's see.
Alan at WAMC.org if
yeah,
you want
you
to start
that
chain,
yeah,
Michael.
Yeah. Okay. And then there is... there is Andrea. No, that's not right.
Okay.
And Joanne, who says, I believe that I heard a very quick reference yesterday on NPR about an Amish, employer who went to court because he declined to collect taxes from his employees through his religion, denied the government the right to tax. If that got to the Supreme Court and a decision was handed down, wouldn't this be a non-issue?
It doesn't involve religious freedoms, though, does it?
Well,
I guess they're arguing the Amish don't believe in taxing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
And then there are many good reasons to, from Narcissa. There are many good reasons to object to Hobby Lobby's contentions, but I wanted to make a few ancillary points. Hobby Lobby is claiming that four methods of birth control are actually abortions, but this is specific, scientifically untrue. We actually
Which
thought
Rosemary
run into
started
this.
The conversation
yeah, yeah,
with
yeah,
that
yeah. Okay, so,
statement.
So that's enough of that one.
Okay.
Because
all
it was
right.
too long.
Okay.
It has to be.
Right.
You have
couple
to make
of paragraphs,
it short.
Please,
okay,
people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not even a couple
Our
of paragraphs.
Our attention span is very,
months.
Very
yeah.
short.
They have
yeah.
to be short so we can talk
yeah.
longer.
Okay.
That's right.
More than paragraphs.
Why not?
Because we know how good that can be.
From Mario, why not count partial electoral college votes based on the state's actual population? For example, the state is given a certain amount of electoral votes because that would take a constitutional
amendment.
That's why.
Years
okay.
and years of work.
Okay, that's it. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We love reading your letters. And, Alan, this is one that you handed to me in 72-point type, NARH,
that's big, by the way,
to
folks.
Close.
That's, like, big headline.
That's a big headline like World War II is over.
Right. This is from the Berkshire Eagle. Hundreds
right.
of workers to lose their jobs. North Adams Regional Hospital, the local visiting nurse and hospice group, and three medical practices, all owned by Northern Berkshire Healthcare, will close on Friday, leaving 530 full and part-time employees without jobs and thousands of patients with few immediate health care answers. You have some strong feelings, Dr. Shartok.
Well, it's a huge story. I mean, it's not my feelings. It's that they got themselves into a real problem in the hospital. They owed millions and millions and millions of dollars. Nobody else wanted to pick that up. There's going to be this huge displacement. North Adams has always been one of my favorite places. It's got Mass MoCA. It's got the Mass College of Liberal Arts, where Roselle taught for all of those years. But it's always had economic problems. And I think the hospital is either the largest employer or the second largest employer.
But if it's untenable and continues to lose money, how do you continue?
You cannot. And that is exactly what is happening.
Well, that hospital has to be in a horrible position because medical plans for people who are Massachusetts residents would include Boston, right? Mm-hmm. Which has much higher reputation, much better reputation.
It's a long drive.
Hospitals even in Albany, which is not a long ride. In fact, many of their most seriously ill people are sent by ambulance to Albany hospitals. So it's in
or
a bad position.
Yeah.
Or Springfield,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very bad. So they're not going to be, you know, the top of the line in methods or in procedures, and that hurts. So it's a spiral, and I hope those people can get new jobs, new
training.
I want
to point out, if I may, the common wisdom is that you got about 4 minutes to get to a hospital if you got a heart attack.
Hey, did this come out of the blue? Was there any
was a problem? A lot of people saw this coming, and they just kept getting themselves in deeper.
However,
the
official notice came like 3 days before the closing.
Yep.
Employees angry, worried. Says
yesterday.
Well, that's what always happens.
Yeah.
That's what always happens. You know, it's always amazing to me that we learn something at the last minute. I heard something on the BBC very early this morning, which is that China now has one of the largest debt ratios in the world, and that they're thinking that China could get itself into a bankrupt situation. Now, we're always talking about New York. We're always talking about the United States and our how much we owe and the debt, and China owns so much of our debt and all the rest of it. But think about that. All of a sudden, at the top of the BBC headlines is that China is in trouble. Now, how many of us knew that?
How do we get from China?
Adams to Beijing.
Well, no, because you raised the point of that, you know.
The hospital knew that it was going to close. Officials had to know earlier than
because
3 days
if you say that, don't you create a bandwagon in which it closes earlier? In other words, if you undermine your own hospital by saying we may have to close in the future, don't you create a rush for that to happen?
I think you have a responsibility to your employees
who
have families and bills and mortgages, and they are the largest employer in that area. That has a huge impact, and to just spring it on the community.
530 is a lot.
No, and it's not. It doesn't stop at 530. That's the full-timers.
There'll be ancillary jobs that are lost as well.
And then remember, as Rosemary just said, there are all these, or you said, the medical practices that revolve around the hospital. Now, remember that hospitals have been buying medical practices now. So that St. Peter's in Albany, I have two guys I go to, two very good doctors, and both their practices were bought by St. Peter's. I don't know what's happening in North Adams, but if any of that is happening at all, you can see what the issues are going to be.
Is there the possibility, I wonder, of another entity taking that infrastructure and going forth?
Well, the answer to that is yes. David Phelps, who is the head of the Berkshire Health Systems, is a brilliant man. But he wasn't going to assume, I think it was $30 million in debt to do that. So there's an ancillary story in the paper this morning about how they're coming up with the Berkshire Health Systems is coming up with a plan. Now, they bought our wonderful hospital in Great Barrington. They bought Fairview Hospital years ago. And then there's always this tension about how many of the patients you shipped to Pittsfield and how many you keep in Great Barrington or how many, you know. Mm-hmm. And we were all worried about that, but it's worked out quite nicely.
I don't understand the tension. Explain.
Oh, the tension is. Okay. So let's just say that they come along and they buy North Adams Regional Hospital and it becomes nothing more than a way station for sending people to Pittsfield, which is a good deal distance away. Or they do the procedures or many of the procedures and in North Adams. That's the tension.
Right. But you would still have, if it were open by another entity, you'd still have triage, you'd still have emergency services, which is really the main thing, isn't it?
It is.
As you say, it's 4 minutes.
It's huge. But we in Great Barrington, for example, like to go to a dermatologist, like to go to this, that, without going to Pittsfield.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've written on this a good deal.
Okay. And you may write again.
Yeah, R-I-G-H-T or W-R-I-T-E?
I don't both. Know. You can, W-R-I-T-E us at roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. So I thought of this great idea for 20 questions for the panel.
Okay, great.
There's no time. So let me ask you one philosophical question. This was actually number five. Well, I'll give you two. One, a year from now, will Ukraine be part of the Russian Federation? Alan?
No.
No.
Rosemary?
Parts of it will be.
See, now that's not a yes or no answer.
I don't want to do yes or no.
She's not playing.
That happens to be the rules of the game. Yes or no is the question.
And the next time we do this, I'm going to have a sounder for a correct answer.
You
ding,
are
ding,
wrong.
Ding, 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 and a if you're wrong.
Okay. You got another one?
All right, one last one. Philosophical question, 15 seconds. Okay. The city of Detroit is threatening to cut water service to delinquent customers. Would you do that? There are about $118 million in unpaid water bills in a very financially troubled city, yet they're threatening to cut water service to delinquent customers.
No.
Rosemary?
No.
No.
Judy says no. Alan?
Mm-hmm.
If you say yes, you'll be in big trouble.
Mm-hmm. No.
Good answer. Ding, 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 ding. And that's it. We're done. Thanks a lot.
That was fun. Let's do that again.
Hour 2 coming up.